Hello, and welcome to The Storyteller's Mission with Zena Del Lowe, a podcast for artists and storytellers about changing the world for the better through story. For the last few weeks, we've been looking at heroic character qualities and then applying those qualities to villains to see how those qualities would change when they are applied in a villainous context. And the purpose has been to help writers understand how to create a great villain, since every good hero needs a formidable foe. Furthermore, the line between hero and villain is often blurry because they actually share many of the same traits. So it's important for us to be able to recognize the differences between these two types of characters. The last thing we want to do is confuse our audience or harm our audience because we ourselves are confused about what the differences are between heroes and villains. So hopefully the 15 qualities that we've gone over so far will give you a really good jumping off point for your villains. Today, I want to finish up this series and go over the last 6 qualities. And if you remember, this is actually from another podcast episode that I did on heroes, 21 heroic character qualities that you can reveal in story. And so in that list, I gave 6 bonus qualities at the very end that you may or may not apply to your heroes. And the same is true here. The next 6 characteristics that we're going to talk about today are optional for villains. Not necessary ones, but optional. The first 15 character qualities we've gone over are more standard and true, universally applied. But these last 6 are optional. They may or may not have these traits. So we're going to just dive right in and start with number 16. Give them a sense of humor. Now, I didn't want to say make them funny, because the fact is there are funny villains if you're writing a comedy, for example. Just look at Dr. Evil. He is a hilarious comedic character, but his name is Dr. Evil, and we're supposed to take him as such. But that's from a comedy point of view. So instead, I want to talk about giving them a sense of humor. This is where they are witty, they are humorous, even if it is in a drama type setting. So a classic example of this would be Alan Rickman's performance as Sheriff Nottingham in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. He was absolutely hysterical in that role. And frankly, I'm not sure anybody else would have been able to do with that script what he did. It was Alan Rickman's amazing performance that made him such a wonderful villain. But nobody would argue that that character did not have a great sense of humor. He absolutely was an enjoyable villain. But there are other characters that come to mind. Tyler Durden, played by Brad Pitt from Fight Club. Again, probably due to Brad Pitt's marvelous performance as that character. Very dry, very witty, very charming, very clever, very deadly. Or the Joker from The Dark Knight. Now keep in mind, there are different portrayals of the Joker, so the Joker isn't always necessarily funny. For example, Joaquin Phoenix's Joker is not funny. It's a tragic view of the Joker. Whereas Heath Ledger's performance as Joker is still very scary, even today, but also he took such glee from creating chaos. His mannerisms were so intense and crazy that you could tell that the character had a sense of humor. Here's another one, Loki from the Marvel Universe. There's a character who is charming and clever and also deadly. In fact, Loki has such a good sense of humor that sometimes we can forget that he is, in fact, a bad guy. So depending on what kind of story you're trying to tell, you may in fact want a villain with a sense of humor. Now keep in mind, if you do give your villain a sense of humor, oftentimes it will accomplish the same thing for your audience that giving a hero a sense of humor would do. And that is, it bonds the audience to that villain. The fact of the matter is, Anyone who has a sense of humor, anybody who can make us laugh, whether they are good or bad, there is something attractive about that. We're going to be drawn to characters that can make us laugh. Now, I would actually argue that in part, it's because laughter is a gift from God. So even though laughter can be used in a perverted way, it's still something that only people that are alive, only people that are still on this planet can enjoy, can take pleasure in. And therefore, there is something beautiful about it. I don't have time to develop that argument here, but the point is, you will bond your audience to your villain if indeed you have them have a sense of humor. So make sure you're doing it wisely. Make sure that you're not making it confusing to the audience whether or not the bad guy is truly bad or evil. Just because they have a sense of humor doesn't mean that they should be able to get away with things or that somehow their evil is overlooked. We still have to make sure that we tell the truth about the world as it really is. And this is an error sometimes I can see people making. Okay, number 17. They may or may not have internal conflict, but they must have qualities in contradiction. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, characters that have internal conflict, it means that there's something in them that is wrestling with who they are, with what they're doing. Tragic villains, for example, are aware of their evil, but they take little to no pleasure in it. They may not even want to be doing it, but somehow they just don't see that they have any choice. So they continue to perpetrate the evil they're perpetrating, not even out of a desire, but out of some weird duty or obligation or belief that they must. That is a character in conflict. Conflicted or ambivalent villains are very attractive to us. But there's another kind of issue here, and that is villains that have qualities in contradiction. And the fact is, just like in heroes, there must be more to your villain than meets the eye. They cannot be one note. They cannot be cliche. They must be complex characters. And this is how you do that. You make sure that they have qualities in contradiction. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, no one's going to argue that the Terminator is a character in conflict. He is a machine, a killing machine. He is relentless, focused, determined. There is nothing in him that is divided. On the other hand, Darth Vader, who is in many ways a machine, is divided. He is internally conflicted. He's one of the most ambivalent villains that we have. And ultimately, it is because he is internally conflicted that he ends up being redeemable. And he repents at the end by turning on the Emperor. But there are other characters who are internally conflicted. For example, Norman Bates in Psycho. Norman ends up being a very sympathetic character because he is conflicted. Nevertheless, he does horrible, horrible things. Granted, it is his alter ego who is committing those crimes. Nevertheless, it is Norman. Here's an interesting one. Hal in 2001, Space Odyssey. Now, Hal, the computer, basically causes the death of almost everybody on board. But he doesn't do it out of malevolence. What's interesting about Hal, the computer, mind you, is that his actions are the result of deep internal conflict between his programming and his emerging sentience. And that's why he does the things he does. So again, one kind of villain is the kind that is internally conflicted, but another kind is someone who has qualities in contradiction. And those are the kinds of villains that are supremely attractive to us as audiences because they are not at heart what they seem to be at face. So again, a prime example of this would be Hannibal Lecter. This is a guy who eats people, but also enjoys opera and art and good wine. He is the embodiment of qualities in contradiction. That is just what makes him complex. What we want to avoid in all our villains is making them cookie cutter cliches. So having a villain who has just bombed the embassy, but then goes home and is a family man, that is a quality in contradiction. And it makes him deeper, more complex, more interesting. Okay, number 18. Whereas with heroes, you often want to make them reluctant, with villains, you often want to make them bold. Why? Because villains, even the conflicted ones, take decisive action. They don't hesitate. If they hesitate, they are not good foes for your hero. So once your villain decides to act, they take action. They're bold. They don't hold back. They go big or they go home. Okay, number 19. You may or may not want to make them clever. Not all villains are going to be clever. Some of them can be. For example, King Ecbert in the Vikings series that I'm watching. He's very clever, ruthless, unpredictable, even likable and sympathetic in some ways, but without a doubt, he is a threat and he is clever. No one would say that the Terminator is clever, but certainly Loki is and Tyler Durden is. No one would say that Javert is clever. He doesn't have enough of a sense of humor to be clever. He's too much of a dogmatist. So some villains are clever and some not so much. It just depends on the story that you're telling. Number 20. Give them a profound sense of responsibility where they feel that they must act. If they don't, who will? Now, this applies to the villain who is acting on some sense of perverted justice, where they really truly believe that they're doing something good in some sort of way. But not all villains are operating from that particular type of perversion. Others are operating from a different type. And they know what they're doing isn't just, but they don't care because they're so selfish or because they're so greedy or because they're so blank, fill in the blank. The point is, there are some villains who are operating from this sense of responsibility and they truly feel like they must do what they're doing. Thanos being a good example of this. He feels that he is doing the right thing. It's a great responsibility and he's the only one who has the strength of will to do what he believes must be done. So if that's a quality that applies to your villain, then yeah, make sure they have a profound sense of responsibility, a duty to act, not just a desire. And finally, number 21, make them lead. Okay, now the reason that this is optional is because not all villains are leaders. As a matter of fact, some villains are loners. A great many are loners, in fact. They don't have a following. They don't have a bunch of disciples or proselytes. They're just working out there on their own. Furthermore, to be a true leader means that you inspire your followers. And not all villains who are so-called leaders lead due to inspiration. Or rather, they don't have followers because they're inspiring those followers. They have followers because they're terrifying those followers. There are many a bad guy who has people following them, but it's because they're scared to freaking death. They don't want to disobey because their boss is so ruthless or because the bad guy has control over them and so they're complicit and they have to follow. So it just depends. Now, if you think about it, it's the bad guys who actually inspire some kind of loyalty in a way who are the most dangerous because then he has true believers following him and it makes them potentially much more difficult to stop. Bad guys who are true leaders have disciples who will die for them, which oftentimes will set you up for sequels or will set you up for a series because if you finally have the hero bringing down the bad guy at the end, you can always have one of his devoted disciples get away, in which case that's going to come up again later. So just know what kind of a leader your villain is. Do they inspire their followers, or do they inspire fear in their followers, or are they a loner? Okay, so these have been six more possible character qualities for you to reveal in your story if indeed you have a villain. Next week, we're going to change gears and talk about something else. So this concludes our series on villains for the time being. If you've enjoyed this episode and have gotten anything out of it, would you be willing to share it? That would be such a great thing if everybody that listens to this podcast just shared it with one person and recommended it to one person who is a writer. That would be so amazing because it would help spread the word about the podcast, but it would also potentially help more writers, which ultimately is the goal. So please do that. If you know somebody who you think would benefit from this podcast, would you please share this episode? And when you do, would you tag me on social media so that I can know? I would love that. You can tag me through the Storyteller's Mission or use my name, Zena Del Lowe. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So whichever venue you use, I should get it. And that'd be so fun. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening to The Storyteller's Mission with Zena Del Lowe. May you go forth inspired to change the world for the better through story.